sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Stryker. Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
It is Labor Day, Anderson. It is Labor Day. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Loveline. I would be Stryker in for Adam Carolla on a holiday. I'm here, but so is Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I'm reading all the paraphernalia. Midsummer Night's Rave. Okay.
Yeah, that's my hat.
It's your hat. And Paul Frank shirt.
Right. Nice.
Good times.
You're not going to go lower, I hope.
Nike.
Puma. Yeah,
Puma. Okay. There you go. I'm one big,
nice.
Whatever. I'm sitting at home
Billboard.
In my underwear watching the Dodgers kill Arizona
19-1.
Today.
19-1.
Yes.
That
was Mark Grace pitching for Arizona. I'm like, oh, all right, I better start getting dressed for Loveline. No shower, hat, t-shirt, sweatpants. No, Dodger fan.
Oh, okay.
Dodgers and Angels. How can you do that, though? Well, one is 30 miles from here and one's right here, so I like them both.
Good, cool.
Yeah. Holiday, are you upset you're here, or is that cool?
No, it was a little bit. I'm so used to it, please, Stryker.
All right.
I've been coming in on my Sundays and holidays forever.
Right.
And I went to Portland yesterday for the afternoon.
For the afternoon?
Yes.
What are you doing there in afternoon?
The KNRK Big Stink.
Oh, yeah. That's a good radio station up
good,
there.
Good, really good radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had fun.
Did you introduce any bands out there?
Yeah.
What did you do? Who did you introduce?
Saliva.
Yeah.
is that ironic? And
yeah.
Earshot.
Earshot, right.
And
they're a good band. Kind of sound like Tool. They're good, yeah.
And I kept saying, call them Earwax.
Earwax. Good for you, Dr. Drew. Who else?
MXPX.
Yes. Wow.
And but I don't think I introduced them. And I don't know. What do I know?
All right. You went there for 6 hours.
Yep. It was great.
All right. I was at a bachelor party. I'm recovering from that. I was in Vegas. The world famous Josh Woods of Chicago bachelor party.
Nice. Pretty tepid there.
The weather was hot.
Yeah.
Although I was inside most of the time. Didn't sleep.
Nice.
It was fun. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. Josh Woods, you killed me. Brent.
Yes.
What's up? You're on Loveline. You're 19.
Yeah, I was just asking about what they could recommend for sleep deprivation.
For becoming sleep deprived?
No, I'm actually been sleep deprived for the last 8 years.
You mean you cannot go to sleep?
Right.
Why?
Just like basic stuff like stress and... whatnot's been keeping me up at night. And
does it, do you awaken early, like in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, boom, you're awake, and that's it?
Most of the time, it's like I won't go to sleep till like 1 in the morning.
Right.
And then I'll wake up again at 4.
All right, well, that's called depression.
Depression.
So you need to get that treated.
You really sound uppity, though. That's the whole thing about you.
Anxiety, all that can be part of it. But depression is the classic sign of depression, early awakening. And this is not sleep deprivation. This is sleep disturbance, it's insomnia. But early awakening like that is most often depression.
Okay. I mean, like, there'll be times where I won't sleep for, like, 3 days and then be able to sleep, like, on the fourth day.
Awful.
Because of just exhaustion.
Well, you need an evaluation. Any other? Do you do anything else? Do you snore loud? Do you jump, sort of twitch around in sleep? Anything of that sort?
Taking speed during the daytime?
You do twitch around?
Yeah.
Do you?
Twitch around during the daytime?
No, it's while you're sleeping. You jerk awake. That
yeah. I also snore.
Are you overweight?
Yeah.
How much?
By about 70 pounds.
Okay. So there could be other sleep disorders here, too. I mean, it might not even be just depression. It could be a sleep apnea or a leg movement disorder.
So, how frustrating is that, Brent, just sitting there counting no sheep, huh?
Yeah, it's hard. The only benefit is being able to listen to you guys.
That's cool.
But
well, maybe you want to start with a sleep center.
Yeah,
Chicago. Yeah, go to any hospital in Chicago would probably have a sleep center. They'll do a sleep study on you and figure out why you can't sleep. And if it turns out to be depression, then you go ahead and get that treated.
Okay.
All right? Take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin.
that works, doesn't it?
That was a fantasy answer.
Speaking of no sleep, here's my question for you, Drew. Yeah. And I was going to ask this anyway. Does your body know the difference between sleeping five hours a night, 3 nights in a row, or going 2-0-12 and there is 15 combined?
2-0-12.
So the first night,
your body would definitely know the difference between 5-5-5 and 2-0-12.
Okay.
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, your body needs a certain amount of time to get into certain cycles of sleep if you never give it that chance.
Right. that was me, by the way, recently.
2-0-12.
Right, 2-0-12.
Last night was 12, I hope.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, I'm feeling good.
Totally
right
brain dead today.
Yeah. Shaving balls, possibly. Chris, 21.
Yeah.
What's going on?
But it's so nice, Stryker, to work with somebody who reads. We have a board here with just that they give us little sentences on what the call choices are, and Adam can't read it.
Really?
He cannot read. And so Stryker looks up, reads.
Well, I,
normally I'm just pointing. Go here, go here, go here.
I see. All I saw, to be honest, was the word balls, and that intrigued
Adam
me.
Can't even go shaved his balls. He can't even read that far into the sentence.
It's not really my balls. It's my perineum.
Oh, nice.
I shaved for the first time for my girlfriend a couple days ago, and now there's like a bubble on my perineum like the size of a pistachio.
Is that the thing below the nuts, pistachio. Specifically?
Yeah, between anusberg and scrotumville.
Isn't that called the chode or something
chodes,
like that?
Chodes, we might call it that. Perineum, where God stuffs you, where the seat, and then sews you back up.
That's okay. Cool. Or the really sensitive spot that men love to be slick.
So, we learned something about Stryker. Anyway, there's the deal is you can easily get ingrown hairs, all kinds of reactions when you shave. Women know this one well, and men, unfortunately, leap into shaving as though nothing's going to happen. You know, it's like shaving your face. It's not. You'll get bumps and things like big boils and zits will occur down there, and they can be quite unpleasant.
If my lady wants me to shave there, though, I'd be so nervous to even attempt to do that. Would you do that for a girl, though?
Yeah,
Drew?
I would. I'd take some advice, though, because, you know what I mean? You really can get unpleasant.
I guess they could probably wax it. All right, supposedly, John from System of a Down, are you there?
What's up?
What's up, Johnny boy?
What's going on, fellas?
Dude.
What are you doing?
You guys, man.
Where are you? You're on an airplane.
No, I'm on my way back from Ozfest.
Nice.
From where to where?
San Diego.
Yeah.
San Diego.
Hey, how was the show on Saturday, I guess it was, out here?
That was, if not the best show, one of the best shows of Ozfest, honestly.
Damn.
Wow.
And where were you?
Me?
Where were all you guys?
John, you know I couldn't be there. I told Bino to tell you I couldn't go.
You didn't tell me anything.
Hey, John, you didn't invite me.
What, I gotta call you and invite you to everything?
Yeah, you do.
Dr. Bruce was there.
Bruce goes to everything. I don't go to anything.
I've had anal sex and I passed out.
You messed up, man. And you make it seem like it's my fault, but you don't go to these things.
Are you on a bus right now?
No, I'm in my friend's car.
Okay. Is it a girl or a guy?
It's unfortunately a guy.
All right.
But it's all good, man.
Hey, how many more days of Ozfest? You're done now, aren't you?
Well, we got like three more shows, and then we're home sweet home, guys.
And then you're going to record a new record, or are you going to go on tour and headline?
We got some plans. We got some secret plans.
Uh-oh.
For some new stuff.
Give us a hint.
We're going to do Loveline like once a week.
No, oh, that's part of the plan. That's good. You're in.
Damn,
so
Johnny.
What's going on with you guys? How are you?
Yeah, we're good.
You know what? Screw the air, right? We'll just take this time to catch up.
All right. Why don't you speed up to Loveline and join us for the last hour?
Yeah,
how far are you?
You know what? We might just, punch it, man. We're out in a Porsche, so.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'll tell you what, if I get up there before 11:20.
Yes.
I'll come in for sure.
Perfect. All right, good.
Perfect. Then we'll catch up.
All right, guys.
I'll talk to you this week.
I'll tell you guys we missed you.
Well, let's get together for dinner. Yeah?
I'll see you guys soon.
All right,
John. Bye. See you in an hour. That was John, System of a Down, who... See, all right, John, who not only calls the back line to Loveline, but calls me at K-Rock on the back line constantly. The guy is in the loop everywhere.
Really?
Has all the secret phone numbers.
Interesting.
And gets everything for free. So where are we going here? Drew, let's go.
Well, you read them and tell me.
Ashley.
Hi.
What's up? You're 16.
Yeah, like about 3 weeks ago, I did shrooms and like two pills of Ambien, and I want to know, like, what are the side effects for that?
The Ambien itself just makes you sleep and forget what the hell you've been doing, right?
Shrooms aren't that
bad.
I
hallucinate on that sometimes.
On Ambien?
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking other medication?
Adderall, and I was taking Paxil, but I don't take that anymore.
Yeah, that's a bad combo, a stimulant like Adderall and mushroom and Ambien. So no wonder you're hallucinating.
Just the Ambien, you're fine, most likely, right?
Yeah, Ambien is an addictive drug, but let me be clear. It is addictive in spite of it being marketed otherwise. I treat that all the time.
Yeah.
And mushroom hallucinogenic, obviously, can have brain damaging effects. Now, the deal is, though, I'm wondering if you've been doing stuff for a while, and that's why you're on the Adderall. Have you been doing speed or ecstasy or anything?
Oh, no, I've never done that. I've just done weed a couple times, and that's it.
Okay, well, just don't do the mushrooms.
Yeah, like the shrooms are just like some crumbs and stuff, and I don't think they really do anything because I do... Ambien, like, by itself and everything, and I hallucinate off that. Like, sometimes I do, like, four pills or
All right.
Well, can you slow down on that then?
Yeah, it's not really.
Yeah, I don't
it's
have anymore,
it's
so.
More of a delirium actually. You get into with Ambien than hallucinations. You kind of don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah.
And that's, you know, that's because it's profoundly sedating and it makes you confused. And you cut it out. What's going on?
Does it make me like not be able to sleep because I haven't been able to sleep lately?
Coming off it could for a couple of days. Oh. And certainly if you've been taking it regularly and then try to stop it, yes, you'll have a withdrawal syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But the Adderall can make you up, keep up at night, too. It's a stimulant. But actually, it's something is very wrong.
Enough of the crumbs and the shrooms. You have no more Ambien, and Jesus, get some rest.
I don't know. My friend brought the shrooms over, and I didn't really want to do them, but I did, like, a little bit of crumbs, but I'm not going to do that again.
Good.
So.
Good. Good impulse.
You solved it on your own, though.
Stop the Ambien. Talk to your doctors about what you're up to here so they can help you.
What's the worst shrooms can do in the long run?
We don't know for sure. Because it's hallucinogenic, and it seems that all hallucinogenics carry the possibility of brain damage, but they think through these sort of free radical mechanisms, presumably it's going to be persistent depression and memory difficulty like we see with all the other hallucinogenics.
Never tried those. Don't think I would. No, scares me for some reason.
You don't eat peanut butter.
Yeah, I don't eat peanut. Very good.
Jesus
good memory.
Christ.
Never even tried it.
Oh, my God.
Or watermelon.
If you don't eat peanut butter, you can't take mushrooms.
No, of course
right?
not.
You have to put a bunch of peanut butter on it.
And I've never had the regular legal ones either. Or peas. I've never had green peas either.
I thought Ashley was having some problems.
You should come to my house and see me. Oh, it's a mess. Melissa.
It's like corn dogs and what?
I love the corn dog.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Corn dog and like fruity-flavored soft drinks.
Yes.
Like Orange Crush and Strawberry Crush.
At least 6 bowls of Crunch Berries today.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Melissa. Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
Hi. You're on Loveline. You're 16. Speak away.
All right. My boyfriend, his name's Jake. We've been going out for about 4 months now. And it started about 3 weeks ago, I'd say. We were sitting on the couch, and we started to make out. And suddenly he said, "Drool on my ass." And I have no clue why he said this. He's been asking me to do this for about 3 weeks now, and it's just confusing.
The only reason I can figure is he has a bet with one of his jack-off buddies.
I don't know, because, you
really?
Know...
Really? Either that or, Melissa right. does, that this is some code for something that she's supposed to say over the air.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, because I have no clue. See? And I'm not sure if
you're on him or what. Right on past that.
She didn't even listen to what you just said.
It's strange that he would want me to drool on him.
Have you had sex with him?
No.
Oral sex?
No.
So how are you supposed to... So have you seen him...
When I say make out, I meant, like, kiss.
Oh, kiss. No. Melissa, is there any chance we can call Jake
and find out?
I don't know if we can because, you know, it's kind of late here.
Here? You're in Westminster?
Yes.
It's 10 o'clock?
Yes.
It's 10. Oh.
Most of our callers, it's 1 a.m. Mm.
Yeah. All right, hold on 1 sec, okay? I don't know, Drew. What do you think?
Hey, Brian, give it a shot. See if you can get a hold of Jake, Melissa's boyfriend.
It's not too late.
We're trying to figure out why he wants to drool on her.
Drool on my ass.
Yes, and the only way we could do that is by talking to Jake. So if we can't talk to Jake, we'll forget about it.
There's some pretty sick... Oh, it's not that sick. There's porns where there's a lot of drooling going on and slobbering and that
nice.
Sort of thing.
Nice.
So, I mean, I don't think that's that horrible, but right in the ass and nowhere else.
Yeah, but what... Okay.
Well, that's why we need Jake on the phone.
Okay, yes. You got to enlighten me.
Yeah, that's right.
Jordan, 16.
Drool on Drew's ass. Jordan?
Yes, sir.
16, what's up?
What's up, man? There's this girl, Trisha, that lives down the street from me. And I've known her for a long time, and we've been through a lot of stuff. And I've been trying to tell her that I love her for a while.
Yeah.
And I've like, given her letters, you know, the whole nine-yard thing.
Is she listening tonight, do you think?
Do what?
Do you think she's listening tonight to this show?
Oh, probably. I don't know.
Is that why you're putting her name out there?
No, I called because you give good advice, and I was hoping you could help me on how to tell her. I mean, I've told her before, and I want to know how she feels, and she won't tell me.
Well, if she's not telling you, and you told her, unfortunately, probably, she is not into you as much.
Women do not hold back.
Right.
If they're an into a guy, they will let you know. Now, women, unlike men, women can be sort of persuaded, though. You know, you could just sort of bring her around, even if she's not into you.
You become so annoying to her that she has to go out with you.
I don't want to be annoying, but see if you can just get a date and treat her in a way that makes her feel good and be very interested in her and, you know, pretend sincerity if you got that word.
Yeah, but when you told her, Jordan, that you loved her, did you ask her out?
No, I haven't asked her out yet.
All right, why don't you just focus on a plan, a date, an evening that you have planned for her. and see if you can kind of bring her around a little bit. She'll probably give you that. But
you
don't
think I should do that tonight? Do
not, no, tonight. It's 10:30. It's, what is it, 11:30 at night where you are, 12:30. Listen, don't dump all your feelings on her. Keep your feelings to yourself for a while and just give her a nice experience, nice time.
Oh, I want to ask him a question. Jordan. Jordan, you there?
Yeah.
What do you think you'll, if you could take her on a date, where, how, what?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that, but I should think into that. I will.
Okay. All right. We'll get a good plan and do something, all right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hey, to let you guys know, we tried to get Jake's number. It's out of service.
She gave you the wrong phone number.
Yeah, on purpose. 555-1212. The Rugby Bunch. The Rugby Bunch. Bill.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 25.
Yeah, I am.
What's
okay.
that?
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
All right, my girlfriend just recently, like 4 months ago, all right, we've been together for 3 years, all right, and we've been having unprotected sex for the past 3 years, all right. 4 months ago, she had an abortion, and since then, whenever we have sex, missionary position, that's the only way that it happens, her vagina has been, I guess, farting, I guess.
Air.
Yeah, air.
Yeah, yeah.
Did her weight change or anything around this pregnancy?
Only about 5 pounds.
Maybe enough. Is she a small person?
She weighs 135.
All right.
I think it's more based on the angle the man is inserting than
yeah, but this
the
is a,
size
this is
and
old,
shape.
They've been
right?
together 3 years, and all of a sudden, after an abortion, boom, this starts up.
Yeah, well, it's like now it's like whenever it happens, it's causing her a lot of pain, like to the point where we have to stop.
Well, it's not the air causing the pain.
Okay.
You understand that? You're doing something. You're hitting something. How long ago was the abortion?
4 months ago.
And did she have any complications?
Actually, well, the doctor, from what I understand, I've talked to 2 or 3 other people that have gone to the same doctor, and they've actually brought him up on charges of maliciousness.
The doctor?
Where he's actually, they've, not complications, but just things that where he's done stuff wrong. Like, we went in for a checkup a month afterwards, and he wanted to do the checkup while he was eating his lunch, which is really screwed up. All right, I've never heard of anybody wanting to do a checkup during their lunchtime.
Why don't you guys get a new doctor?
Yeah, well, we're definitely on the verge of doing that. That's for damn sure.
Well, why on the verge? Why didn't you get seen by someone else?
Oh, no, we're looking through to find different doctors. We're on the verge of we're looking through different doctors to find out who's capable of her situation right now. You know.
Yeah, it's not a complicated thing, Bill.
No,
she had an abortion. Nurse practitioner, general doctor, gynecologist. Go ahead, make a change.
Okay.
Don't sit there and build a case against this guy just because you don't like him. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's not that we don't like him.
All right. See, listen. The fact is, there've been no complications. She had an abortion. You're getting this strange problem. The bigger issue here is that she has pain with intercourse, and that's a significant thing, and that needs to be worked out.
There's a ham sandwich up the vagina right now. And every time
so.
He plumps in there, ham...
I really was afraid he was going to get into something like that.
Yikes. Find a new doctor, for God's sakes. All right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. That's the number. I'm Stryker for Adam, along with Drew. And, yeah. DJ.
Yeah.
What's up, man? You're 32.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah. How you doing?
Good.
Hey. Oh, you know what? This is like...
What?
I kind of got... I wish Adam were here for this stuff, because I'm not good at this, but sort of like jack-off dude night. You know what I mean? you know what I mean? Angry dude night.
DJ, there, giving you another chance. You there?
Yeah, guys, what's up?
All right, speak away.
All right, hey, my girlfriend's got a question about why I cannot get off during oral sex.
Because?
He's an idiot.
Do you have any problems with intercourse?
None.
And how long does it take with intercourse?
Oh, anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour and a half.
Right. That's fantastic.
So it takes
by the
you
way.
A long, yeah, it takes yeah. you a long time for that anyway. And there is definitely just those guys that do not have orgasm during oral sex. That's just it. That's just the way they are.
But have you had one with other girls?
No.
No, no. There are guys that do not have a climax with oral sex. You're just one of them. And that's it. That's you.
Ah, oh, what a disappointment.
No, not for him. He doesn't care.
What do you mean? You don't care?
Yeah, I care. I mean, because, like, I'll be laying there for an hour and nothing.
Yeah, well, why don't you switch into...
Where are you, the Circle K?
No, we're on our way back from Parker.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, DJ, good luck.
All right.
Yeah. Friend in the background is screwing me up. Yeah. What was that about?
That's another jack-off dude.
Explain the theory to me. I want to know about this.
We have jack-hole dudes calling in some nights, and Labor Day seems to be one of those nights. They're all loaded and coming back from the
Loaded, right. They have the worst suntans right now. We went to the River Entertainment. We got our Schlitz beer. Met a girl from south of Tucson. Lives in a trailer down there. Everything's all right here.
She showed me her chest.
Yeah. Girls Gone Wild Part 6. We're all going to be on that. Whoops, hold on. No, let's go to
a break.
Yeah, is it break? Oh, yeah. It is break. We're running late. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a dude about dropping a testy.
Nice.
Whatever the hell that means. I know. We'll find out after this. More Love Line coming up. Fell in love with the girl. What's up there? It is Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Stryker for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew.
You were regaling me with stories about Las Vegas.
It was so fun.
With this club you went to, it was a bachelor party.
I went to a bachelor party.
And you hung out at a club by Rio.
We stayed at Hard Rock Hotel, but then we went to a club at the Palms Hotel called Rain.
And what is it? You have to go somewhere from the Hard Rock. It's like that's not
cool. Oh, the Hard Rock's unbelievable. They have babies there and everything. But, we wanted to go out. And anyway, we go to Rain. We get in. Next thing you know, it's like 3:30, 4 in the morning. We walk out of there, get a limo, go to Olympic Gardens. Olympic Gardens strip club. Walk out of there at about 8:45, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
It felt like 2 in the morning. Go back to the Hard Rock. I can't go to sleep. Stay up to 7 o'clock that night. Awful. Flew home. And here I am right now. Painful. I feel great, though. No, it was fantastic. You should have been there.
That was all on corn dogs and Orange Crush, too.
Corn dogs, Orange Crush, Red Bulls.
Jesus.
Bad things, dancing, sweating, staying up. It was so fun. Josh Woods, hello. Thank you for the good time. And all the guys in Chicago and L.A., they all met out there. It was cool. It was good. Man, I cannot recommend highly just staying up for 40 hours straight,
oof,
and then going to bed.
Jeez.
You get a great sleep that way.
Oh, my God.
Just like that guy that called earlier.
Yeah, well.
He was overweight, though. The dropping testicle man, Steven.
What's up?
22. I'm not making fun, but I have no idea what's going on with your testy, so you tell us.
Well, when I was about 7 or 8, I was supposed to have a surgery, and I did have the surgery to drop one of my testicles.
What does that mean? I have no idea.
You get undescended testicle. The testicle does not get into the sac. It stays up in the abdomen where everyone starts.
Right, and I had to, and they did the surgery to have one dropped.
And the problem is, I still
have one nut.
Well, If that's in fact true, maybe with the one they put in there just didn't, sort of atrophied and didn't survive.
Okay.
That's a possibility. If it's really left up inside there, it can become cancerous and it's
That's what it feels like. It feels like something is up there.
No, up there be up by your kidneys.
Okay.
So there's no way you would feel anything.
Okay.
It's a big nut.
Yeah. You need to get this checked out because it is a serious issue if in fact they left something behind. But it's probably just that the thing didn't make it.
I've got another question. Now, during sex, I can go for about 15 or 20 minutes. My girlfriend gets pissed off at me because after I ejaculate, I go limp. I can't get it hard again, for another, 10.
Either can I. Either can Drew after. Well, there's a few men that probably can stay hard, but that's so hard.
Yeah, that's like after 18, there's not many guys that can do that.
Right.
So, I smoke pot. Does that have something to do with it?
That makes it worse. For sure. It also atrophies your testes, so.
Okay.
And
you keep smoking pot, you're going to have no testes.
Yeah, it definitely raises this estrogen levels and decreases testosterone. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Steven. Good luck with the testy. Misty.
Yes.
Coming on the stage next at Olympic Gardens is Misty. You're 25.
Yes, I am.
What's going on with you?
Sorry, there's a career for you there.
Yes, sir. That song or any Alice in Chains song, followed by possibly a Madonna song, and you're in. Oh, man, I love the strippers at Olympic Gardens. Go ahead.
I work with juvenile sex offenders, and I have a gentleman that fantasizes. Hello?
We're here. I'm just thinking
about
it.
So he fantasizes about me constantly, and it's some pretty deviant fantasies, and it's actually affecting my working relationship with the child. I want to know how that I cannot let it affect me as much as it does.
Wait, hold on a second. You work with children who were the victims of child abuse?
No, they are the abusers. They're the victimizers.
Okay, and they probably were also abused themselves in some awful way.
Correct, absolutely.
Yeah. And now you're a therapist?
Yeah. Well, not a therapist. I'm a counselor working on that in school, but
what's your level
not
of
there yet.
What's your level of training?
Well, I have a BA in behavioral science.
And you're functioning as a therapist? You're in a therapeutic alliance with a severely disturbed child? How old is the child?
The child is 15 and a half right now.
Okay. And how often are you meeting with him? What's the nature of this relationship?
Actually, I work with him 36 hours in 3 days. I work 12-hour days, Saturday, Sunday, and Mondays.
So you're a psych tech or something?
Well, no, it's like a group home type setting where I go in and I work with them for 12 hours a day.
But you're a tech. You're not sitting in a therapeutic environment with them. You're just around the home helping create the structure.
Supervising.
Creating the structure.
But you're not with this one kid for 12 hours straight. There's a bunch of different kids you're working with, right?
Correct.
All right. And so what is the nature of the
fantasies?
Fantasy. And how did this come up? How did he lay this on you?
I'm obligated to ask each and every one of them every day what their masturbation pattern is and what their fantasies consist of and how many times a day they fantasize.
Okay.
And then we process that and talk about how it came about and what the trigger was and what the strategy they used to either get in it or get out of it.
All right. So what is he saying?
It's very interesting. Do you do this in a group setting or you do it individually with them?
No, this is individual when I'm asking those questions.
Okay. All right. And then what came up?
Well, he has a journal now since it's become so frequent that he has to write them down every day.
All right. So what
how many times?
All right. Well, go ahead and tell us what it was now.
Yes.
He raped me forcefully and oral copulated me and forced me to oral copulate him. This is a reoccurring fantasy. And it's bothering me a lot. And I don't know how to. And I've talked to my supervisors about it, that it bothers me. But I don't want to stop working with the child. I just want to be able to deal with it, if
all right.
you will.
Well, there's nothing over the top about the fantasy, right? That's a common kind of a fantasy in someone like that, especially with the people that they're working in therapeutic relation with. If you're going to go into this kind of work, people are going to have all kinds of fantasy that gets directed at you, and your job is to maintain the boundary between yourself and the, you know, you're in the position of authority you're in and the person who's having these feelings, and not be intruded upon by their feelings and allow them to overcome you or to overtake you in any way. And if you have trouble doing that, that means you need to get some treatment. That means your issues are interfering with this therapeutic alliance now. Now, in my field, we work in addiction, which is very similar to the world you're working in. We try to get everyone to go to Al-Anon regularly because you have to refuel. You have to sort of get a reality check. You have to process your own feelings. These people get into your head and they drain it and they spin it a little bit, and it can be draining. It can be an unpleasant experience, and you can have all kinds of reactions to it. So the message here is, he's doing what he does. There's nothing unusual about what he's doing. There's nothing, you know, over the top. In fact, it's probably quite therapeutic for what he's doing. But you're having a reaction now, and it's your responsibility to deal with that. Do you understand? I just wrote a book about this.
It's just like The Sopranos.
Yeah. I just wrote a book called Utter Hell. It's coming out in April. It's about what patients do to caretakers, what they do to me personally.
Like, they could screw with you so bad that you're going to end up needing to go see someone yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening to Misty.
Not only that.
Sorry, guys.
Is that the 15-and-a-half-year-old?
What was that?
No.
Wow. Are you calling us from a drag strip or something?
No, I'm calling you from my cell phone, and I guess they're drag stripping out in front of my house.
Wow, but
fabulous. Sorry.
Do you live on a speedway? What the hell is that?
I don't. I live near a major intersection, though. So.
Do they know?
Sacramento.
Sacramento. Oh, my God.
Sacramento.
But listen, if you're going to be in this kind of work, you have to count on being taken care of your emotional world.
Like, her mind is going to be effed with over and over again,
constantly.
Right?
You have to get your own treatment.
And you know, it has been over
Listen, Misty, for a second. Just the fact that you want to work with these kids speaks volumes about what's going on in you already. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to live up, you got to cop to that and then get some treatment of your own. It's just, it's not a cognitive process.
What percent of people helping crazed buffoons
have their own issues?
Yes. No, listen. Have their own issues because the person they're helping is effing with them.
No, listen, real professionals can handle this. But the fact that...
Even when you're just starting out.
People like myself that choose to help people in need got their own issues. That's what drives you. That's what makes you so compelled to do this work.
Well, you see in The Sopranos, the girl that's helping Tony Soprano goes and sees that other guy.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on with them.
You have to. You always got to do your own stuff. Or else your stuff gets in the way.
Right. I was a sociology major, by the way. Not that this has anything to do with that, but...
I'm proud of you.
No, you're not. Bastard. Mike?
Yes.
19 Mike. What's up, dude?
Okay. I've been talking to this girl for about a month and a half, 2 months.
Mike's keeping our theme going here. I like that. Yes, Mike. Go right
jack
in.
Off Mike. Go all ahead. Right.
All right. Anyways,
did you just smoke a bowl, or is it earlier today?
It was about 30 minutes ago.
30 minutes ago. So you just smoked a bowl.
But he's been on hold for 29.
Yeah,
see,
I know
that's
that.
Okay.
All right. It hasn't been that long, has it?
No, 12 minutes. All right.
It feels like
you're
that
peeking
long.
Out. It's about time to get another bowl.
Anyways, okay. Well, we've been dating boyfriend girlfriend for about 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah.
And the whole time we was talking before he was dating, I didn't talk to really any other girls, but in the last 2 weeks, since we've been dating, I've cheated on her 4 times.
With the same girl?
No, 4 different girls.
And what does cheating mean?
Like having sex.
Oh, my God. Well, break up with this girl.
Well, no, I don't want, I like the whole that, voice.
That's too bad.
This guy must be the Tom Cruise of Oklahoma.
You effed up. Now, it's interesting, though. It's interesting how women do that. When a guy has a girlfriend, it's like they know it. It's like you admit some kind of pheromone. And it's like, she's got him. We got to all go after him. As soon as he's got that lean and hungry look, it's like, stay away from him. They, like, shine his picture up on the wall. Say, forget him. Hey, what is that? Wait.
This is what, like, girlfriend, that's what she
Hey, listen, you have mistreated her badly. Not only that, you may put her in harm's way. Do you use a condom during these encounters?
Yes, of course.
Of course, of course. Any guy that has sex with 4 different people in a week, 2 weeks, of course use a condom.
Where are you meeting these girls, Mike? I gotta hear about this.
At one of the races, and then I just met the other 3 at parties.
Damn. You have a good game then, I see.
Actually, I can't talk to girls once I'm drunk.
Good. Yeah, you're drunk, you're hungry.
Pabst Blue Ribbon from Mike, 19, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Mike, you're gonna...
Yeah, just forget about a girlfriend and just go have fun.
Well, see, that's the problem. When I don't have a girlfriend, then it's a little bit harder.
You know, again, I cannot help but think about this book I've been working on for so long.
Which comes out when, Dr.
Drew?
Comes
out in April, but I wrote about a guy like Mike.
Oh, really?
Sorry to keep bringing this up, but... it's not going to work. It's actually a book I'm very excited about. I'm one of the few pieces of media that I really am proud of, other than Teen Species. I'm empathetic, but the fact that would be something that I'm really guys proud of. But the book is something that I wrote about a guy like Mike, and these guys are addicts, and women are just another substance for them. And they really don't, they appreciate him, they like him, but they really aren't separate whole people. And Mike needs to let this girl be. The fact that she's with Mike, though, of course, says something about her. She might not let him be. She may need a guy like Mike.
Right.
That's what drives me crazy.
But he's doing something right in the beginning to lure them in, though.
No, there are certain women, you know, right? You've done the show long enough.
Yeah.
You know that certain women need guys like Mike.
Of course.
They need to be treated like that.
And there's that many out there that will...
Because we have so many dads out there that treat their young ladies like S.
Got it.
That gives guys like Mike a great big green light.
Right. And he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Stacy.
Hi.
What's up? You're 19.
Oh, hi. Yes, I called in with a question. I wanted to know... And this is about me. I was curious what the correlation is between girls who grew up without fathers and then, like, getting involved with older men later in life when they start dating.
Well, mostly the pattern is girls that grow up without fathers then going after unavailable men. Now, are the men married that you go after?
No. Oh, God, I don't go after them generally.
You're just attracted to older men.
Right. And I was just wondering why.
Did you have any sort of male figures in your life?
I grew up with my grandparents until I was middle school.
All right, well, there you go. Right? So you had an available man. He was old. He was your dad, your grandfather. And that sort of wires in your idea of love. those are the people, those are the objects you love. And you need to kind of ease that down a little bit and look more realistically at people and not just as objects of this lock and key phenomenon that we all have. We grow up with a certain thing. We look for that then when we're 20 years old.
So
right. Try to look for
women
people.
Women actually look for traits that their father had in the men they like go after romantically later?
Very often. It's, strangely enough, the way the human is, especially when they were traumatized.
Chapter 3 in the book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a theme that runs throughout the book.
What happened to your dad, Stacey?
My dad was married to another woman. He had an affair with my mother.
Got it. And you've never seen him, spoken to him?
Good times.
No. I figured if he was interested, he could have kept in touch. He was there when I was born, I know.
How do you know that?
They have home footage of it.
Yes. I think it might have said that on the birth certificate that he was present at birth. I think I saw that.
I've never heard of such a thing on a birth certificate.
Okay. I could have sworn that's what it said. Okay, I might be making things up then.
Do you have a boyfriend right now that's like 50?
50? No. No, I don't have a boyfriend. I've never dated anyone before.
Oh. Maybe that's something right
start
there.
Start dating people similar to you and your own age and see if you can develop a connection. And realize you need to look for somebody that is... that you can appreciate as a complete person, not just as somebody who's sort of this object of desire that you've got left over from your past. All right?
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Bye, right, Stacey. Have fun in Minnesota. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
All right, we got to take another break here on Love Line. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla on Labor Day, Vacation Day. Drew is here, still dressed like a doctor.
Yeah, I had to go to the hospital tonight.
After this?
No, I went.
Oh, you went before. Here, yeah. Oh, okay. We'll find out what happened with him at the hospital. And talk to you guys. More Love Line coming up. On Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Stryker, along with Dr. Drew. Adam's going to have the week off, and I'm excited because tomorrow, Boxcar Racer will be in here. That is Tom from Blink-182 and Travis from Blink-182's not even a side band. I mean, this is the real deal. Big band, good music, really nice. Good. Boxcar Racer. See, that's kind of weird. That's what I really want to ask them. Like, you take 66% of Blink, and you start another band, and then just add in one or two other guys? I kind of feel bad.
Why not just add Mark back and call it Blink? You know what I'm saying?
I know. I don't know. I don't get it. And then we're going to have Weezer on Thursday. How cool is that going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
For me, that's going to be good. I cannot wait. And then Sherry Appleby from some TV show. Do you know?
Roswell.
Yeah, Roswell. Very good. Drew, you're on it. And I think she's from Swim Fan also.
New movie.
Yeah. We're on it, right?
I'm on it.
You're on it. We're good. Let's talk to... Adriana, for the love I feel inside. You're 15. You there?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
Good. What's going on?
I had a question. I have something that's different about me than, I guess, most girls.
You have a penis?
Huh?
No.
Go ahead.
No. I have two vaginas, and my question was, is that common, and is it seen in anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Of course, not. You're not the first one on Earth to have had that. And some women actually have two cervixes, and some have two uteruses. They have two complete systems.
Hold on. Two vaginas.
Vaginas.
Are they vertical to each other, side horizontal?
They're vertical. Wait,
they're side by side, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have three insertions down there.
Three?
No, well,
you mean they clean the anus?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
How many guys have two penises?
That tends not to happen.
Because she needs to find one of those guys.
Skin in
very funny.
The middle of my cervix.
Yeah, this is, and so... You have, if when the doctor does, has doctor done a speculum exam on you?
Uh-huh.
And when they do they see the cervix completely when they look on one side or the other?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at which side?
It's like if you stuck both your fingers up, you can touch your fingers at the top. Because it doesn't completely go.
Okay, so it's sort of a septated vagina. Are they going to change that? Are they going to let it be? Or
They said that it was fine.
Yeah, it is.
Is one of them more receptive than the other?
She's 15. She's 15.
So, like, if a guy's on the left side, you're like, yeah, can you move over to the right?
You can.
Wow. I've never heard of this, even when I listen to your show.
It's not that uncommon.
Really?
And you can have, again, you can have two uteruses and two cervixes.
But no one has two wieners.
No one has two wieners. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be, oh, God, when I live the life with two
Because
of those.
These girls, for instance, these women that have the two genital systems do not have two clitorises. And that's what becomes the penis.
Got it. Got it. What about having, what about when she has a baby someday? It chooses which side it's going to fly out of?
I don't know if they'll have to operate to sort of remove the septum or not.
They told me that it's fine how it is pretty much because I do pretty much have a main one. So during birth, it'll probably just
go down the main one, yeah.
It was a problem, then they just cut it, I guess.
See, this, she's got the best of all worlds. If a guy's too small, she moves over to the left.
Right.
If a guy's too big, one, right.
But yeah. I cannot wait for the day when the guy's down there and he says he's on the left side and you just gently move him 3 inches to the other side.
Yeah, one's tighter than the other.
Oh, lovely. All right, Adriana.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Two vaginas.
You never heard that.
Never heard it. Two penises. That's what I want to hear next. Rebecca.
Hi.
What's up? You're 18.
Okay, yeah. Every time I have an orgasm, I get really dizzy after, and everything kind of almost blacks out, and then 10 minutes later, I can't really hear that well. Everything kind of fades away. Everything's really muted.
How many vaginas do you have?
ten minutes after the fact, suddenly the...
Yeah, 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, it's not right after. That's why I'm kind of concerned.
So your hearing is normal, and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes afterward, it'll suddenly get dim.
Yeah,
Do you have migraines?
No, but I've been getting headaches lately this summer, but I figured that it was because of the chlorine, because I worked in an indoor pool.
Are you on any medication?
Yeah, Zoloft.
So it could have something to do with the Zoloft. And your mom have migraine headaches?
No.
All right. Well, this is something worth looking into. It's probably no big deal. But I agree with you. The fact that it sort of fades out a few minutes later is sort of peculiar. And it's probably a migraineous type phenomenon, I bet.
You think so?
I suspect.
But I don't think I've ever had a migraine before.
I understand. The fact that you don't have it in the family and stuff sort of suggests maybe not. But it sounds like that kind of thing.
That is one strong organism, Rebecca.
Orgasm?
Yeah.
Orgasm.
Is that by yourself, with a guy, oral?
By myself. Never with a guy. It's if it's by myself.
I mean, if I went through all that trouble to give myself one, I don't know if I'd want to go through it every single time.
It makes me also wonder about what's going on from a cardiac standpoint. Maybe your blood pressure sort of dips a bit. And again, the Zoloft may have something to do with that. Yeah,
It's pretty intense, but it just kind of, it just kind of makes me a little bit nervous, because...
Does your vision dim with the hearing dimming also?
Yeah, but it's like my... Yeah.
It worries you, but you still continue to do it.
Oh, of course.
Exactly. Of course.
Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. And I still do. Right. I'll see you in Santa Barbara, Rebecca.
Thank you.
So what's she supposed to do, Drew?
Get checked out.
Get checked out.
Get checked out. Okay, thank you.
All right. See you later, Rebecca.
Bye.
All right. Oh, man. That's good. That's a strong one, isn't it?
No.
Hearing loss 10 minutes later?
You want it to be that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Will.
Yeah.
18 on Loveline.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we've been together about a year now, and I guess all along we've had some trust issues, and I just know what to do. She doesn't understand where it comes from my standpoint. Here's something she did. She has a lot of guy friends that doesn't really bother me that much. One night she went over with her friend to spend the night at this guy's house because she didn't want to leave her friend there by herself. She promised me she wouldn't drink. She ends up getting drunk, taking some Vicodin, and this guy ends up trying to kiss her, does kiss her, but she pushed him off. Huh. And it's stuff like that kind of, I don't think she would have mentioned that to me unless
she wanted you to know it. She really loves just ringing you out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I already knew she was going over.
Well, I wish I had someone to talk to me when I was your age and having this kind of an experience, which I did for quite some time. End your misery. To end this relationship. It's not a good thing. It is that. That's the problem. You're not with a good person who's treating you right. Not a person who really cares about you. You have a person who's really kind of being abusive to you and is not being empathic to what your situation is and probably has sort of done herself in some way. And like I said, I wish I had someone to tell me.
Do you think she's not good to him because she's taking it to the edge and then telling him?
She's telling him for some reason. Either she's kind of done with this relationship and doesn't know how to end it,
yeah,
or she's an abusive person. And whichever it is, get out. That's it, Will. That's it.
Well, I think the reason she told me is because I already knew she went over there and I was going to find out, but I don't know if that's it.
Well,
I'm glad she did tell me.
Well, go do whatever you want to do. Don't listen to me.
Drew, Jesus, Drew, you're so mean. Hold on, I want to finish him. Will?
Yeah.
Drew is serious about this.
Hey, it's the,
listen.
All right, Will.
right.
Do whatever. I didn't call you. You called us.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want.
All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out about Drew yelling at more people named Will. And also Mary out in Portland about not wearing a bra and saggy boobs and perky boobs and fake breasts.
She must have been a big stink.
We'll find out what size
Bugsy,
they are.
Bugsy.
Yes. After this. More Love Line. Hold on. Back. It's a holiday, but Loveline goes on. It's Monday. I'm Stryker for Adam Carolla. Loveline, Dr. Drew, addiction medicine specialist, chomping on a salad.
You know how great it is to be able to actually do things during the radio show and not have your co-host so blown away, distracted that he can't function. If I do so much as make a doodle,
right?
Put something in my mouth,
yeah.
Or do something like this. You saw me doing. I do stuff. I move around a little bit with my hand.
Hey, you're a prick.
No, he is.
He's talking to me though.
All right.
Well, he gets distracted. He never sounds it though.
He has like such horrible attention deficit disorder. If a fly flapped its wings in the corner of this room, it would be able to.
How does he do the TV show then? There's 86 people watching you. Then you have a live audience. Then the lights and people moving around.
He gets drunk.
He gets loaded, yeah.
Is it loaded? Really?
Well, TV, you're sort of focused in on, one little area. You know what I mean? He can focus on stuff as long as things right around him isn't, distracting him.
Got it.
But then the other hand, we have to look right at a lens, right at a camera. Underneath it would be who the guest was and what their show is and when it's on. If it wasn't spelled out perfectly,
right.
Or if the network wasn't on there, or if the show it was wrong in some way, we couldn't go on. He can't adjust. He'd go screaming, yelling. Why can't we get?
But
that?
He doesn't seem like that though. I don't know.
Oh,
man, he kicks ass
kidding?
On this show
Are
though.
You kidding?
All right, Mary.
Hi.
The breastuses question. You're 21.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So did you go to the big stink?
What?
Did you go to the big stink yesterday?
You know, actually, I lifeguarded in the building next to it, and the people that were taking breaks were smoking in front of our air duct vent.
Nice.
And so I actually choked on the smoke from the vent all day.
Fantastic. It's hard to understand how a baseball stadium could have ventilation systems, but that's okay.
What baseball stadium?
Well, no.
PG&E.
Yeah, and then the pool ventilation system is right next to it.
I see.
And so where people take their smoking breaks is right there.
All right.
So you're a lifeguard.
Yeah.
And so you wear a bikini or the one-piece red suit?
Actually, I wear a polo shirt.
Oh, a polo shirt.
Yeah.
Don't you have to wear a bathing suit?
No.
What size boobs do you have?
A.
Okay. So your question is?
My question is, if I go braless always, will it make my boobs start to sag more quickly or more drastically?
Not if you have an A cup. There's really no, right? There's nothing,
right.
No gravity there, right?
Okay.
And I don't know whether anyone's actually proven that that significantly changes things. I guess some people have different densities and different propensity for that. As you get older, that's going to happen no matter what.
All right.
And maybe the bra might delay that a little bit.
But an A, Drew, that shouldn't
not,
be...
Not likely to be an issue for you.
You don't like wearing a bra?
No, not really.
I was talking to Drew, man.
Yeah, right. I don't. No, not usually.
You're right there?
Yeah.
All right, you sound like a great lifeguard.
Okay,
see you later.
Bye.
Did that seem odd at the end?
The rhythm of all that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to her?
She
fell off the deep end. No pun
intended. She was trying to stay with you. You were just too quick.
Yeah, all right. This guy or girl's been on hold forever, so we'll grab it. I don't know what it is. Amy.
Hello.
What's up? You're 23.
Yeah, I had a question. I've made up my mind to go in for gastric bypass surgery.
Okay.
And I've heard from, there's two doctors in the office that both do it, and I've heard two different answers for the question I have. I was wondering, basically, how long should you wait to try to get pregnant after you have it?
Wow.
I've heard a year.
I was going to say, I would imagine it'd be about a year.
Okay, well, would there be a problem with, nutrition and stuff like that with the baby?
I'm sure you'll have special needs, and after a year, it takes about a year for your body to hit a baseline, whatever you're recovering from, really, things get back to normal after about a year. So whatever issues you have related to the gastric bypass would have sort of stabilized, whether you have a dumping syndrome, whether you have nutrient deficiencies or malabsorptive problems, and that will have been dealt with, and now you can go ahead with the pregnancy.
Are you married?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and we have one baby, but I've had a lot of problems since then. I've gained weight really fast. So before I make up my decision whether or not to go in, I'm going to a hormone specialist.
Good.
Before I even left the hospital, I had gained 8 pounds. So,
oh, wow. Interesting.
I don't know what the deal is, but that's a big option for me. So.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Good luck, Amy.
Bye.
All right, moving along. This is a good one. Nina. Lovely Nina, 26. You there?
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I just have a question. My clit is not very sensitive at all, and I was talking to my friend about it, and she said that her grandmother had the same problem. And when she asked her doctor about it, he said that she had, like, a hood of skin over it.
Yeah, but that's normal. Everyone has that.
But then you remove some of the skin and make it more sensitive.
Wait, what do you mean by not sensitive, Nina? I think you've got some grave misconceptions here. What does that mean? Can you not have an orgasm?
No, I can, but not very often.
And can you? What has to be done for you to have it? Under what circumstances are you able?
Well, if I'm having sex, I have to be on top usually.
Okay, so you can have an orgasm during intercourse,
which is we're way ahead of the ball.
You're already ahead of 50% of women, right there.
Okay.
Most women do not have orgasm with intercourse.
How about oral? Okay.
Do you have orgasm?
No. No, never, and that's probably why I think I'm not sensitive, because my friends think that, like, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, but they also don't have orgasm during intercourse, that group.
Okay.
Now, are you sure you've been, does your boyfriend know how to do that to you?
I think so. I mean, he's pretty experienced.
Maybe that's not going right. I mean, have you tried a vibrator and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I've never tried, I have a vibrator and I've tried holding it onto my clit, but that doesn't do anything for me.
All right. Did
so
you
I
see
it? Just permanent. And basically, like, when he's down there and sucking right on my clit, I can't even feel it, really.
Well, that's the problem. He shouldn't be sucking. It should be a light counterclockwise swirl.
No, the striker is right, Nina. This sort of makes me angry. And I'm angry at you, Nina. I'm angry at the sort of the culture that leads women to believe that they should be functioning just like a male. It's a wholly, entirely different arousal system. It's not going to work like a male system. It's not the way it operates.
Okay.
I agree.
And you need to sort of learn how your system works, and you're not going to find it in Cosmo or Glamour, and you're not going to see it in pornographies. It's not the way a man's system
Well, there is
works
one episode of Backdoor Boogie, which shows a great technique.
For
oral. Even though it's called Backdoor Boogie.
All right, but the fact is, though, it's something that needs to be sort of, for you, needs to be kind of brought out. And part of it is your central nervous system has to be involved. You have to be really into the relationship. You have to be sort of in that emotional space for the sexuality to sort of unfold normally.
That's there. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 2.5 years, and we're pretty much marriage bound.
All right.
But I love how you say that he's so experienced in the oral field, but yet he's trying to suck the skin off your vagina.
Yeah, it sounds like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Not many other guys have done it. Me, and so I don't even know, like, what you're supposed to do.
Right. So you wanted you maybe you should
anything,
right
so.
Maybe you should consult a bookstore or one of those tapes.
I don't know about a bookstore. Nina, I would just ask him, because you haven't dated him a long time.
Him.
No,
she
I'm going to say ask him, tell him, very, very light, and see how that goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Adam says a lot more funnier things being here, but the oral thing, the man on the woman, I'm all about, Nina.
And understand the fact, not only do you not need something to sensitize, you're more sensitive than most. The fact that you can have orgasm with intercourse.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
like, when he's using his finger, like, the only time I'll come, like, if he's rubbing is if he rubs really hard. And, like, I have to tell him to rub really hard because it won't do anything otherwise.
All right. Well, whatever is for you then. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess he needs the old combo platter, finger with the tongue, same time.
Okay.
All right, Nina.
All right. Thanks.
Call us back and let us know how it goes.
Okay.
I beg of you.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh man, I liked her though. I like her voice.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. Where are we going here, Drew? Which one do you want to go to? I know, but maybe you see someone that gets you.
All right. There you go.
Caroline.
Hi.
What's up? 32.
My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I seem to have all my life through even long-term relationships a pattern where they're my friend and right away they fall in love with me and I grow to love them, but it's not enough and I always leave. I was thinking, is there a problem with intimacy issue? Is it just that I feel selfless love? I don't know.
Selfless love. What a bunch of BS is that? Listen, if this is the pattern in your life where people have left you.
No, I've always left every relationship.
I mean,
relationship.
From your early childhood, if people you love left you, you have to be in control of that. That the powerlessness of that experience was so overwhelming that when you are exposed to vulnerability and the possibility of intimacy, you gotta. When that starts to happen, you gotta leave, because the thing you scare most is that, fear most that they're gonna leave you. So before that happens, goddammit, you're gonna leave first.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't know, because I want to have the commitment. It's almost like if I get...
Did somebody leave you early on in life?
No, no.
Never?
No. My father died when I was 21, but no.
And
I have a big family. I'm the youngest of eight.
And he was in your life?
All my life.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
Youngest of eight.
Yes, and yeah, I'm the youngest. So I don't understand it. It's almost like I stay because I feel obligated because they love me so much. But then as time goes on, I realize, you know, it's not enough. I don't love them enough to
stay. Why don't you just not get involved in these relationships in the first place instead of getting sucked into these things just because they love you? Why don't you hold some boundaries there and defend yourself and do the things you want, find the things you need in a relationship?
Yes.
As opposed to being codependent to their needs.
But it seems like, I mean, love, you're throwing that around so freely, the word. I mean, that's strong to have that many people, they love you, in love with you.
That have been, yes. That's where I think I've become quite turned off or disillusioned by, they could love me so quick, and then I find out.
Where do you meet these guys?
Excuse me?
Where do you meet these guys?
I've met from, you know, childhood, from school on, from, you know, growing up. I lived in the same area all my life. So, or at the gym, I've met people. It's just everyone right away. And then I kind of get, well, gosh, what's, you know, they could love me right away. Again, like I said, I never felt that spontaneous, you know, love that they seem to feel. And I realize over time it's not enough, and I leave the relationship. I feel bad.
Well, you're 32, it says here on the screen. You're a little bit old to be still struggling with these kinds of issues. If you were 22, we'd say, all right, like, you know, you'll figure this one out. But at 32, if you really can't allow yourself the possibility of intimacy, that's time for therapy. Now, you say no one's ever left you. Youngest of eight. Something's missing. There's some big empty spot there that needs to be filled.
And everyone is loving her.
Yeah, which is interesting.
I don't know. Jason.
Yes.
What's up, 14?
Yeah. Well, first off, Drew, you're awesome. If Adam was there, I'd tell him he was awesome, too, even though sometimes he's a jackass about us Jews.
All right.
Anderson, is that your first or last name?
It's my first, buddy.
Okay, cool. I've wondered ever since you guys did a show and Adam didn't know if it was first or last.
Thanks for asking, bud.
My question. I've got a...
Jason.
Yeah.
What am I, chopped liver?
Striker.
Go ahead, man. I'm just kidding.
I've got like a...
That's enough right there. Okay, let's... I'm just kidding. All right, go ahead. You have a what?
I have a worm-looking thing on the bottom of my penis.
Eee, that would be a vein.
It's not like a normal vein.
What color is it?
Thank you very much, Anderson.
Why isn't it like a normal vein? What's different?
Because it's not like blue or red. I mean, it's not like blue or pink, you know? It's like really red and thick. It protrudes. Like an E string on a guitar, low E.
Like an E string on your guitar?
Yeah, low E. It's real thick. Sticks out.
Well, yeah, I think that's a vein.
Yeah. They don't necessarily have to have color.
You going through puberty right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. You'll get more of those.
Believe me, the girls will like that thing when...
No, what are you... Are you kidding yourself?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to make the kid feel good.
All right.
Jason?
Yeah.
It's a vein.
All right, cool.
All right, okay. Good times.
All right, thanks.
Jason.
All
right. Jason.
Yeah.
When I come down to Irvine?
Yeah.
I won't call you. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
This is a nice kid, you know what I mean? Jason, yeah, he's a nice guy. I don't know. April.
Hi.
Hello, you're 16.
Yeah. I have really bad pains during intercourse.
And just at the beginning or after a while? Or?
Like, it usually starts at the beginning to where it feels like I'm losing my virginity every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it'll last during the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting you would sort of correlate it with losing your virginity since it's never felt different than this, right?
Yeah.
Losing your virginity was no different than, that's just intercourse for you. It's not feeling like losing your virginity. It's intercourse always hurts.
Yeah.
Right? And is it just one guy?
Yeah.
Are you having any foreplay before the sex?
Yeah.
He's just not trying to ram it in there?
No, it's like we use, I have my natural lubricant, we use KY, and we actually use lubricated condoms.
And do you lubricate normally?
Yeah.
And does he have trouble penetrating? Is there sort of a spasm down there where he has trouble getting through?
No.
So you can penetrate okay, but immediately the pain starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a very small girl?
I'm about 5 foot.
How much do you weigh?
About 110.
Look, April, you're having sex now, right? Have you ever had a pelvic exam?
No.
So women that are having sex must go have regular pelvic examinations. You are at risk for cervical cancer. You can get, things can happen to you that need to be carefully monitored once you're sexually active. So one of the things is unpleasant symptoms, and you need to get this evaluated to see why you're having it. It may be just something called vaginismus, which is sort of a spasm of the muscles in the floor of the pelvis there.
Now, does that happen because she can't let herself go? Because
more often than not,
16?
The kids we talk to, it's kids that shouldn't be having sex because they're nervous about it, and it causes this muscular spasm. But usually there's trouble penetrating with those. There may be something actually anatomically or even physiologically wrong with her sexual functioning. She doesn't know. Who knows? She has to get a pelvic exam to see. Could be an infection. Could be a lot of things.
Do you have a doctor you can call for that, April?
Actually, I just moved up here, and we're like changing insurance companies.
All right. Well, as soon as you change, go get a checkup, get a pelvic exam, and pap smear, okay?
Okay.
All right, April. Good luck with the insertion.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's... Not like Brett. Brett. 14?
Yeah.
You've been waiting a bit. What's going on?
Well, this girl I asked at homecoming, she thinks she's pregnant, and I'm wondering what I should do.
How old is she?
She's 14, too.
Pregnant by you?
No.
Have you gone with her? I understand. Have you gone to homecoming yet?
No, it's in a couple of weeks.
Wait, school hasn't even started back up yet, has it?
Or
it
starts tomorrow? Yeah.
We're in Chicago. It just started this week.
Yeah, well, homecoming...
Wait, this week? It's Monday.
Or the last week.
No way it's homecoming in 2 weeks.
Brad. Yeah.
No way.
You haven't even had the first football game of the year, have you?
Yeah, it was on Friday. That's when I asked her to homecoming.
Okay, I can believe it. And then homecoming is in how many weeks from now?
About 2 or 3. Or 3 or 4, my mistake.
Okay, that's right. 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right.
All right, so she thinks she's pregnant and you still want to ask her out?
I already did.
Oh, good for you, Daddy.
How did this come up? How did she tell you she was pregnant?
One of her friends told me.
Which means she probably doesn't want to go with you, and she probably isn't pregnant.
I don't understand.
She was too afraid to tell me, and she hasn't been... I listen to you guys all the time, or not Stryker, but...
Go ahead and rub it into Stryker.
No, he's saying he listens to...
Right, Loveline.
Yeah,
whoever's
listen to Loveline almost every night. Yeah. Drew, you're God.
Okay, Brett. And what... I'm confused by your call, I have to tell you.
I'm just a little nervous.
Your flattery has put me on...
There's a fly on the wall. It's distracting, Drew.
That's right. She's pregnant by someone else.
Yeah.
And you've asked her out for the first time?
Yeah.
Does she have a boyfriend still?
No. It was like a one-night stand thing, from what I know.
And is she going to keep this pregnancy?
She's trying to get an abortion, but she doesn't have the money.
Brent, I know you love the show, but your call sounds completely bogus.
I know it does.
It does. Tell me if it is. Come on.
It's not. I'm not lying.
All right. And is she someone you like and want to support, want to get involved with?
Yeah.
Okay, you're 14. This is a lot to take on.
It's a lot to take on. But you could support her through all this and help her, you know, sort of be there as a friend to her as she goes through this. And just because she's pregnant doesn't mean you can't date her. It's certainly... You know, you're going to have a lot of baggage, so to speak, you know, in terms of what you're getting into with this relationship. But there's nothing about someone being pregnant that says you absolutely shouldn't date them or shouldn't be involved with them. This is a mistake.
I would be running for miles the other way.
Well, that's not a bad instinct, frankly. But this woman needs some support, and evidently she has friends. So what kind of friends are going to come up to a guy that just asked her out and tell them, did you know she's pregnant? I mean, it's very weird. But I just hang in, Brent. All right?
Okay.
All right. And it must have been a bogus confidence.
I don't know. He seems real, but...
He seemed sincere enough.
About a 14-year-old?
That's a lot. That's a big deal, yeah.
Big deal. Joel.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 18.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey. Yeah. Who's this?
This is Dr. Drew and Adam.
Oh, hey, Dr. Drew. I've been listening for about 5 years.
Cool.
Yeah, I recently started doing ecstasy and everything, and friends of mine say that
it's you can't really die from that, and it's just
a calculus.
You can't die from it?
Huh?
You can't die from it? Is that what you said?
That you can't die from it.
You can, though.
Yeah, you can. There's always a few deaths every day in this country from ecstasy, but that's not the big issue with that drug. You know, the big issue is the brain damage it does, and you're going to be living with that the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, is it the certain kind of pill that you do that you can die from, or is it very uncommon to die from it?
It's uncommon, but if you do it more than 10 times, maybe less, certainly more than 20, you will have brain damage the rest of your life, guaranteed.
Really?
And I see it all the time. And the features of it are memory disturbances and really severe mood problems, severe depression.
And you start seeing some sort of light, you said, out of those, like, streamers.
No, that's LSD.
Really? That's LSD. Last time I was here, a kid did ecstasy a bunch, and you're like, you said either one.
LSD. Yeah, I see sometimes you'll see shadows and stuff move around.
I get
stream.
That sometimes. I see, like, I think something moving out of the corner of my
eye. Yeah, the shadows. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what it was.
That's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that is from the brain injury that this drug causes.
How many times have you done it?
About 5 or 6 times.
All right, so you're getting into the trouble. You hold back now before it looks like some of this might regenerate, so it really stop, Joel, before you cross the line.
Well, but really, how much brain damage? I mean, is it like...
enough to need a hospitalization for depression regularly, repeatedly over the course of your life, because I see those people a lot.
Huh. Okay. And you're saying 20 times.
20 times seems... When I admit somebody for chemical dependency treatment, I always ask them, how many times they do acid, how many times they do ecstasy? And more than 50 hits of acid, more than 20 hits of ecstasy, and I know they're going to be on antidepressants.
Is ecstasy addictive?
Yeah, it is, but it's... It's not very addictive. It's very hard for people to get addicted to. I've only seen 2 cases of ecstasy addiction. It exists, and it's mostly the amphetamine piece that they get addicted to.
Right. All right, Joel. I guess just be careful is what he's saying.
All right, thanks.
Yep. All right. We got to take another break. When we get back, we'll find out about pierced nipples, sensitivity, the clitoris, and much more. It's Stryker and Drew. I'm in for Adam. More Love Line coming up. What's going on, you guys? I hope you had a fun, long-ass weekend. School probably starts for many of you tomorrow. I'm Stryker for Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. It's Loveline. And let's just get right back into this sucker. Linda.
Yes.
What's up? You're 18.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call, you guys.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Okay. I was wondering, I want to pierce my nipples, but I was wondering if, like, later on down the line, after I take them out and stuff, will I still be able to breastfeed?
Are you nervous?
No.
Wow, are you talking fast?
She's on some sort of thing. Woo. We were just talking about during the break.
I don't think she is, but just, wow. Do you go through long periods of time where you, like, don't need to sleep and have tons of energy?
Yeah.
And then do you have periods of time where you're real depressed and kind of down?
No.
She's just always up.
She's just always mad.
She's taking Xenadrine.
I'm a happy girl.
Yeah. Happy-go-lucky nipple piercer.
All right. So you want to be able to breastfeed?
Yes.
Game on. No problem. Okay. Though understand breastfeeding is a very, very difficult process. It's not like the baby magically takes to that. You have to have breastfeeding coaches and instructors.
Yeah.
And having extra holes and scarring and God knows what else doesn't make it easier.
Okay.
All right?
But it's still game on.
Oh. You can still do it, though.
Do you have any other piercings, Linda?
No, not yet.
Do you have any tats?
No, I just turned 18. I really want to go, like, get stuff, though.
Who's your favorite band? Hold on. Who's your favorite band?
My favorite band?
Yeah.
The Cure.
Wow. Nadie's girl. Okay.
Weird.
Good luck with the nipple piercing.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Linda.
I totally love you. Like, seriously, I think that what you do is, like, great because you inform kids, you know what I mean, where, like, they wouldn't get information otherwise.
I hope so.
Totally.
Thank you.
And you're cool, too, Stryker.
Well, thanks, Linda.
And tell Adam I said hi.
I will.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Wait, where are you pointing to?
Two.
Number two? The guy's just calling the second.
Yeah, I want to do it.
Really? Jim?
Yeah, hi.
Dr. Drew is salivating over you right now.
Okay.
You're 31. What's going on?
First of all, I want to talk about the Ambien first.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the hallucinations from Ambien.
Yeah.
And,
this is what they call.
I haven't
hang on.
That before.
Well, hold on.
This is a call.
Ahead,
this is a call that we had about hour and a half ago.
It's like the second call of the night.
And,
right, I know.
She was taking...
It might be a real phenomenon.
Oh, Jim, hold on. We're telling everyone else. Hold on. Jesus.
She was taking 40 milligrams of Ambien at a time while taking other hallucinogenics and was surprised.
And was seeing things on the wall and stuff like that.
Okay.
And now Jim is calling to say... Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
And I was calling to say that I've experienced that, too.
From Ambien.
Right, right.
And were you on other medication at the time?
At the time, no. I mean, I've taken Prozac before.
You were on nothing when you were taking the Ambien?
No, not concurrently.
Had you been on something that week?
No, I hadn't.
What are you doing right now?
Well, anyway, then I relapsed. I had 3.5 years clean, and I relapsed on heroin.
Uh-huh.
So,
After taking the Ambien for a while?
Yeah, exactly.
These drugs all trigger relapse.
Klonopin,
Ambien, Vicodin. It's just you can't stay sober and be taking those drugs.
Right, right.
All right.
And my question is, with the methadone, you know, first of all, I'm on 110 milligrams right now.
Right.
And it's kind of holding me, but it's not holding me for the full 24 hours.
Right.
And they've done a trough, and I guess I have lower blood levels.
All right.
And I'm wondering if I should raise the dose, A. But B, the side effects are troubling.
Yep.
The anorgasmia, you know, that results, and, you know, the decrease in libido.
Jim, why didn't you go back into recovering?
Well, I kind of wanted to do it over a long period of time. I mean, now they have 6 months detoxes available. And
I understand, but detox has nothing to do with recovery, right?
No, right. I understand that.
So your plan is to get off the methadone. You're not going to become a methadone maintenance.
No. Right. I'm just kind of extending it, you know, kind of to buy me time. But my question is...
Buy you time? What do you mean?
Kind of like sort of give me, you know, because I wasn't really ready to go through the withdrawal and stuff like that yet.
Well, you're going to have to do it eventually. Methadone withdrawal is no cakewalk.
Right. I know I'm kind of putting off the inevitable.
Absolutely. But, in fact, something strange happens when people get on methadone. They develop what's called a pathological fear of withdrawal.
Right.
They become preoccupied with withdrawal. And you know withdrawal is not an awful, it's not great, but I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not as hard as staying sober once you have gone through the withdrawal.
No, that's true.
And so you just, and the methadone seems to, I really think it's a biological thing because it's so characteristic of everyone on methadone. They just love, the idea of withdrawal is just overwhelming to them. And it's usually not that bad. Now, the longer you stay on it, obviously the worse the withdrawal is going to be. Now, the path you're going down is moving towards maintenance, frankly. And the current school of wisdom is that we should be giving people on methadone a lot more methadone than we have in the past, that we just haven't been using enough. That's why people chip on heroin. That's why the 24-hour window doesn't stay comfortable during that 24-hour period. I will tell you, I've never seen somebody on methadone that doesn't eventually kind of fall apart because of the side effects, because of the lethargy, because of the you're on medication chronically, and you're on it to the point where you're sort of sedated,
right?
And it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to live with.
Well, there's not too much lethargy. I'm not experiencing too much of that.
But I understand. Listen,
meditation isn't
Jim.
But, yeah.
You're not on as much as you're going to be on if you're wanting to make it the full 24 hours. So by the time you do get on that much, you're going to experience some of those things very frequently. And you are getting some of the other side effects like anorgasmia and the stuff that people find very unpleasant. And I've seen 1,000 different symptoms that people have become sort of intolerant to staying on the methadone. Why don't you get back into your recovery, taper it on down, get off the methadone, and let's get on with things here. Don't sit around fearing it. Or get on the maintenance and be chronically ill the rest of your life. That's the other path you can go down.
Is there, for people that are addicted, is there anything that's ever free to get recovery? Or does it always cost money
It's all free. 12 steps, all free. I mean, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, because, you know, you always see for famous people, they spent...
Treatment can be expensive. People are trying to increase the probability of success. And, the more treatment you get, the higher the probability of success, really.
The more treatment or the better treatment?
Yeah, the more, really. And there's different kinds of treatment out there. And you can get it. The problem is, now there's rapid detoxes for $7,000. I mean, my God, for $7,000, you should be able to get 3 months of treatment. And then their rapid detox is done. Now they have no money. And, of course, they go out and use drugs again.
Right.
It's crazy, crazy stuff going on.
Because you hear about, it's mostly in the famous people, because that's, you know, they get reported on. You know, they spent 3 weeks at this rehab center, and now they're out. Can someone be cured in 3 weeks?
No, but 3 weeks is enough time to stay in a, you know, day in, day out kind of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to do something for many months after that.
Meetings and that sort of thing.
But it's outpatient treatment in addition to meetings.
Got it. Amber.
Yes.
Amber is the color of my energy. You're 19.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. What's going on?
I could see your aura.
Yes, my aura's right there, yes.
You're gay.
Easy, Drew. I'll see you at 12:01. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I'm wondering, what was that?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, Drew, like, first of all, you say that you can tell if something has happened to somebody by the sound of their voice, if they sound like their age or not?
If they call in with a certain voice, it has a meaning to us.
A, B, C, D.
Like that voice. You hear that?
That's like an 18-year-old. That sounds 12.
You hear that voice?
Yeah.
All right, that's the voice of a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old. And she called in. I said, all right, what happened when you were 4?
Yeah.
And she went, what? For what? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, well, I was sexually abused by a babysitter for 5 years. All right, so there's that. That's what that is. That doesn't mean everyone who was abused has that delay, has that vocal thing.
I was just wondering.
That's it? Why? Were you abused?
Well, no. No, that's not my question. I just always had that question, too.
That whether or not everyone who has abuse has that vocal quality?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not the case.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, my question basically is, if I have, I'm kind of at a loss for words, I have less sensitivity in my clit and my nipples, and I was wondering if that could be due to a rape.
Well, yes, rape can make you feel sort of blunted in many ways, and it certainly, of course, could then affect your sexual arousal. So it's not that it's a sensitivity, it's just like the arousal cycle doesn't become initiated.
Okay.
Right? And you have treatment for the rape?
I've gone through counseling.
Yeah? Did you go through a group counseling by any chance?
Yeah.
How long did you stay with that?
About 3 months. And then it kind of fell apart, so.
The group fell apart?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like it didn't sort of, you never had a chance to finish, to really come to a close with it.
Not entirely, no.
Yeah, it sounds like you still got some unfinished business. Certainly you're having some symptoms still.
Can you get some one-on-one treatment?
Yeah, one-on-one's okay, but women's group often is very efficient and very effective in helping with this kind of thing. So you might try to get back involved with some sort of women's group or some sort of counseling situation in which they have some expertise in dealing with this kind of trauma, rape.
Yeah.
Okay? It probably is. You probably have a lot of sleep problems, too, and mood swings, right?
Yeah, depression.
Yeah, so yeah. It's time to get this taken care of. It's sort of unfinished business. Why go through life like that?
I wouldn't. If I had the choice, I wouldn't have.
Well,
get in the group help and maybe get yourself straight.
Yeah.
All right.
Get Amber.
I was just wondering if that's the reason why I can't orgasm during oral sex, too.
Well, if you don't feel anything from the beginning, you aren't going to feel anything the rest of the way there.
Exactly.
There you go.
If you don't feel the nipples, you're not going to feel down below. Jason.
Yes.
What's up, man? You're 20.
Yeah. How you doing, Stryker?
Good. Thanks.
Dr. Drew.
Hey.
I've got a problem with the relationships that I keep getting myself into. I definitely have a cycle of girl that I date in terms of having chaotic paths, and I definitely play the role of fixer when I'm in my relationships. And I finally met somebody now after getting out of a 3-year relationship, and she definitely doesn't seem like she's that way, but I can't seem to get that same attraction to her that I have to all these other girls.
Oh, that's interesting. You see? You know, we're always advising the women not to go for the guys that are so exciting. Now we're telling you the same thing.
Yeah.
Just see if you can have a relationship with someone that doesn't give you that same intensity of drive.
Right.
And see what you find there. It might be more rewarding. It might be more
substantial. Well, why are you trying to fix all the girls?
A lot of it stems from my childhood. Growing up, my mom had a lot of problems because her parents really kind of talked down to her and kept.
So you were always fixing her.
So you know what's going on. You know what's up.
Yeah.
Don't trust your attractions. You're one of those people that you're going to lose a little bit of something there. You give up something not having that in relationships, but you gain a hell of a lot. And this might be the person that you can try to tiptoe into something more substantial with.
Pull the old Costanza.
I know why I go into these relationships, and I know exactly what I'm attracted to and what I need to stay away from. It's just that this girl, you know, I can't get that same level of attraction. I don't know if I'm used to that intensity, and it's a foreign feeling for me, you know, not to have that, but I just can't bring myself to be intimate or get closer to this girl like I have in the past.
So that's it. You're just not going to do it.
Right. I don't know. I'm really confused about this. I just don't know how to break myself of the cycle.
The therapy, that's one way. And then beyond that, it is maybe finding a less intense version of what you have to have. Somebody that's not too crazy.
Like slowly cycle down. He's been with the people that he's trying to fix completely and just go for people with smaller problems,
It's like he needs that. When he has that attraction, you know there's trouble.
Yeah.
So he needs to find someone that he just has enough of that with that he can be sexual, it sounds like. He has trouble being sexual with this woman.
No, it's not necessarily that. It's just even, you know, I can be mentally attracted, but it's just, it's, the intensity is not there. I think that's the big thing, is I can't find that intensity, and I don't know where to get that from.
Well, there's another word we have for that intensity.
It's prostitutes.
Chaos. We called it chaos.
Yeah.
And chaos is not a good thing in one's life. So
yeah,
maybe you're going to have to bang your head against the wall enough time that you realize that.
Well, at least you know the problem off the bat. Now you just gotta fix it.
Yeah, you've got insight. Just keep your eyes open. You'll figure your way through this.
Go for the opposite, Jason.
I know. It's just I just can't, you know, get that attraction, and it's really hard to work through. But
well, good luck with that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, see you later. All right, I think we're going to take a break. Is that right? All right, we got to take a quick break. Stryker, that's me, and Dr. Drew, I'm in for Adam Carolla. We'll talk to probably a schizophrenic right after this. More Loveline coming up. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll try to get some calls in here before we're done at 12 o'clock. At least 12 o'clock on the West Coast. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
We were just sitting in here. We were just talking about the 11th. It's so close.
Yeah,
again,
crazy.
Unbelievable. School starts tomorrow for some of you. Mm-hmm. A lot of you, it's going to be next week. And then 2003.
Summer officially ends, I guess, today, huh?
Yeah, what, you're wearing white. You're not supposed to wear white.
Why?
After Labor Day. Well, I guess you're allowed to wear it because the summer's over.
I'll take it off on the way home.
So you can wear a black shirt tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
But you'll take it off on the way home.
It'll be 104 tomorrow instead of 107.
God, it's been so hot in L.A. It's been hot everywhere.
God.
Thank God you guys are not here. I stayed in my house the entire day today. Drew is salivating over Chris. You're 19. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Chris?
Oh, okay, I'm on there?
Yeah.
All right. I guess I have somewhat of an adrenaline addiction. I'm always doing, like, multiple things at one time, and I, like, just have to be very active. And, like, the easiest way for me to, like, get a whole, like, adrenaline or get going is, like, street racing.
So you're thrill addicted. You're thrill compulsed.
Basically.
That's alcoholism. That's what that is. So you have an alcoholic dad or granddad or something?
Actually, no.
Yeah? What's your...
I drink socially.
No, I don't mean your alcoholism is out of control. I mean, that's the gene for alcoholism that makes people thrill compulsed.
I've had a member of family addicted before, but to the point where you couldn't, you know, he took care of it.
Chris.
Yeah?
It's a gene. You inherit that potential from a family member.
Okay.
You don't have it. The disease is not active currently, but that state, that biological state in which high degrees of thrill are highly rewarding, that's the gene for alcoholism. So you have inherited that gene. So you're going to be very careful with your relationship with substances because you have the potential. Well, not everyone has the potential. You either get that gene or you ain't. You've got it.
Well, I have been addicted to, like, certain substances before. Like, I used to do a lot of speed.
All right, so
and
you're making my point for me. You've already been addicted. So you will find your way to other things as time goes along here. And, in fact, once you have been addicted to one thing, that compulsion for thrill goes way up.
Now, what can he do now? Because
he should be going to meetings and be treated. But he's obviously not going to listen. He'll go on to something else, and maybe they don't get the message.
All right.
But the thrill, that need for thrill, that the reward delivered by thrill, the volume on that is kind of turned up after addiction. In fact, people who are trying to deal with the biological residual of having been addicted will do things like kleptomania. They'll go and steal things. Certain people in the news.
Supposedly.
Things like that have happened to them. And or they will race fast cars, or they'll go become extreme sports.
That's an alcoholic gene,
addictive gene. It's all the same.
Okay.
They already were prone to that kind of behavior, but then if they've been addicted to something and then they're trying to get off it but not being treated, they will gravitate really strongly
to those
thrill behaviors.
What are some of the things, if you have that gene, that you'll do that isn't a drug or alcohol?
Sexual compulsion, extreme sports, fast cars, stealing. Chaotic drama, relationships, shopping, eating. These are all really extreme situations, extreme kinds of behaviors.
Wow. All right. Here's the schizophrenic. Diana?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17.
Yes. I'd like to say hello, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Diana.
I was diagnosed with symptoms of schizophrenia, along with severe anxiety and severe depression. And I was on Risperdal for about 3 to 4 months and Celexa.
And then I gained about 60 pounds on the Risperdal, so I was off that. And then she put me on Geodon, and I was on that for about a month and a half, 2 months. And I got an allergic reaction, and my face was all, it was firecracker red. I had spots all over it. My mom told me I had to get off the medication because allergic reactions in my family, throats can close up and you can die.
All right, so you're going through what so many people do when they have a biological, neurobiological problem. You got to find a medicine that works and that you can tolerate.
Okay.
And it takes a while, and it will change with time as you move along, as you grow up. The biology changes, and the way the medicines work changes subtly, and you'll have to change over time, too.
Okay, and I was wondering, I've been off my medication now for about a month, and I'm having really, really, really bad mood swings. I can't be around my friends.
You got to be on the meds. You have a biological disorder.
There's no way to control it unless you're on the meds, right?
It should be thought of more in the order of like seizures and other things that are biological events in the brain. It needs to be treated or it will continue.
So which one does she need to get back on? The one that makes her 70 pounds overweight?
No, you need to go back. There's many, 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 many more to try. You need to go back to the doctor and try. There's clothes, real, all kinds of stuff that you can maybe
get
into,
because
right?
Then I definitely need a new psychiatrist, because she says that the Risperdal and the Geodon were the only ones that she would try, because the older ones have more.
Well, there's still Zyprexa and Clozaril, and there's a lot of stuff to try still.
Okay.
A lot of stuff.
That's what I need.
And maybe it's not on the formulary of your particular insurance plan or something.
Yeah.
And that can be a serious issue.
Okay.
But you got to appeal to the organization to get the meds you need.
All right. Okay.
Good luck, Diana.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go. This person's been waiting a long time, I think. Charlie?
Yeah.
What's going on? You're 31.
Yeah. I was wondering about an effective drug to treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, you know, there's no one bullet for that one. She needs to go back to get evaluated carefully and be not only in talk therapy, but also find a medicine that works for her.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's serotonin reuptake drugs. Certainly, sometimes it's very, very, very low doses of benzodiazepines. Sometimes the Zyprexa and the anti-agitation. But virtually anything can work, depending on what the symptoms are.
All right, two calls in a row about medicines. I'm trying to find a call about a double penis.
Here's an IUD one, at least.
An IUD. Brooke?
Hi.
Hey, what's up? You're 23.
Yes. I had a question. About 8 months ago, I got an IUD after I had my son.
Yeah?
And I've had, like, the never-ending period.
Ever since. 8 months of bleeding.
Never-ending.
Pretty much.
Has it been painful?
No, it's just kind of...
You're just annoying. You're just spotting?
No, it's like a regular hardcore.
Are you taking iron?
No.
You better be sure to, because if you're bleeding that much, you're going to lose iron. But shoot, it doesn't sound like that's what you'd expect for 8 months with an IUD.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous.
Yeah, why don't you go back and...
I'm in the military, so we get really crappy care anyways, but they said that's pretty much it. That's what they can expect from it, and...
Well, I'm not...
Is there, like, options I have as far as other...
Yeah, there's tons of options. You don't have to have an IUD in, right?
Well, I mean, I took birth control, and it obviously didn't work so hot, so...
Oh, you were using a birth control pill when you got pregnant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depo-provera shot?
Yeah, well, I'm not into the whole needle thing, so...
Okay.
I'm, like, massively...
What are you into, Brooke?
Well, I mean, I'm just afraid of needles, so...
What do you do in the Air Force?
I'm public health. Mm-hmm.
So you work in the field that is supposedly
you're public health,
you.
You're scared of needles, and you're talking s about the health system you have there.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I didn't know, I mean.
There are lots
of. We get stuck with residents, so it's pretty much the kind of.
Then you got to go back and be seen again, because this is ridiculous, I'm bleeding. That's not right. That's not right to have persistent bleeding for that period of time on the IUD. You can have lots of spotting and irregularities, but to have heavy daily flow, no.
Not good.
Not good.
And, well, I mean, yeah, I could figure that out, that it's not kosher, but...
Go back. And there are all kinds of other things you can, you know, there's patches now for the pill, right? That you can get estrogen, progesterone patches.
Yeah, but does the military get that kind of stuff? Or?
I don't know.
You have your military book here, Drew, don't you?
No, I don't.
Hold on, let me look. It's is, you need a D-O-R right now.
D-O-R? Actually. What does that mean?
Dropout on request.
Oh, nice.
I think they make you do that.
They make you D-O-R?
I don't know if you do it on your own or if your sergeant tells you to D-O-R.
And what does that mean?
You drop out. You're out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something you've been through?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never been in the military.
No?
Though I can do the push-ups.
I heard Ross Perot on Larry King tonight talking about how he took enlisted people and made them into great executives and things. And I thought that really flies in the face of some of the crap that Adam says about enlisted folk.
What'd he say about them?
Adam?
Yeah.
He just sort of makes them feel like they're people who had nothing else to do.
So they just decided to
enlist.
Join.
Or their family makes them or something. But I could see Perot's point with people that have been in really seriously challenging situations.
Right.
Could bring that to bear later in life.
How old is Ross Perot now?
I think it was. It sounded like Ross Perot. I think that's who it was.
Was it the radio or TV?
Yeah. Oh. It was on radio.
Yeah, okay. He's still doing the radio show?
Larry King?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
It's just a radio version of his TV
show. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. Ross Perot. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're just going to say goodbye and tell you about Boxcar Racer after this. On Loveline, John from System of a Down, you rat bastard.
Yeah, he didn't show up.
Right. He called in at about 20 after 11, driving up from San Diego from doing Ozfest. I'm like, step on the gas if you can make it here. Hang out. He's like, I'll try to get there by 11:30, 11:20. Guess he didn't make it. He sounded a little loopy at the time. Did you notice that?
I noticed that. A little irritable.
Irritable and excited.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Find out what he was doing tomorrow.
Oh.
And speaking of tomorrow, here on Loveline, Boxcar Racer will be in. That is the other band that Travis and Tom from Blink 182 are in. And they have a really good CD out, and they'll be hanging out, so you can speak to them tomorrow. And speak to me as well. It's Stryker in for Dr. Drew. In for Adam. The good doctor is here, as well as me. Not as good, but still hanging out. So I guess it's time to say, what does he always say?
Mahalo.
Oh, yeah, and I'll just say, adios, see you tomorrow.
Drool on my ass.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.